Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mark, you wanted to talk about boys and skirts for some reason.
That's right.
To start the show out here tonight. So what's the story? Where's it coming from?
This is from The Guardian at theguardian.com.
All right.
And it's about a school in England, but it doesn't particularly matter because schools are like this all over. They've got their rules. I remember going to school and you couldn't even wear clam diggers. I grew up in Florida, Bradenton, Florida, Manatee County, Florida, and it's hot there, especially,
yeah, it is.
You know, you're talking
all year long, basically.
June, right. It gets cool sometime in January and gets warm again in mid-February.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically how it is. And they made us wear pants all the time.
Now, was this in the private school?
Private and public.
And public.
Yeah, so I went, you know. I think that in kindergarten we were allowed to wear shorts, but
wow.
after that we had to go to long pants.
Now you're like 9 years older than me, and
right,
I'm
I was
in
born
my
in 1971.
I'm in my late 30s at this point. So when I got into school, that was not a problem. I was able to wear shorts the whole time, basically. So they must have changed that.
How
at some
short
point.
Were these shorts that you were allowed to wear?
Well, I think there was some sort of limitation on the number of inches above the kneecap that they could be. I don't remember. I don't recall what that was, but there was some sort of limitation because they didn't want people wearing super short shorts and, you know, showing off their junk.
There's some teenage boys decided to wear skirts to show the school that they, you know, to protest their no shorts policy. So the boys have to wear pants, but the girls can wear these skirts that come above the knee. They're not terribly far above the knee, mind
right.
you. They are what I would consider modest apparel for a young lady. And they're, you know, checkered. So basically, not checkered, but plaid. And so basically, these young men are wearing, you know, they're wearing kilts.
Okay.
There's nothing special about that, but they all got together and decided they were going to protest by wearing these skirts, and you know, it just kind of shows the ridiculousness
it's a
of
double
the
standard.
Situation. Yeah, yeah. So some had borrowed them from girlfriends, others from sisters. A few had gone the extra mile and shaved their legs when the ISCA
wow.
Academy in Devon opened on
impressive.
Thursday morning. An estimated 30 boys arrived for lessons, heads held high, in fetching tartan patterned skirts. The hottest June day since 1976 had led to a bare-legged revolution at the secondary school in Exeter. Now, I mean, it's hard for me to feel bad for somebody in England having a warm day, having grown up in Bradenton, Florida, in a house with no air conditioning.
Yeah, sure.
I guess my question for people is, okay, why should young people have to wear long pants? Young men have to wear long pants, and then young women can wear these, you know, breezy little skirts. And secondarily, is there a problem with young men wearing kilts to school too? Is that a problem?
Well, what happened to them? Was there any kind of consequence? Because they were wearing skirts / kilts or whatever, and, you know, the only difference between shorts and those things is that there's not two holes to put your legs in. There's only one.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only difference.
Right. It's really sort of silly. Essentially, the folks here, the management of the school, they're like, we don't know what to do. The media catches, you know, you're talking about dozens of teenage boys wearing skirts to school at the same time with a little bit of, you know, media attention. It just blows up. Fortunately, the administration is not stupid enough to
around this.
Lop these boys' heads off on the school lawn or whatever it is that they would do for punishment.
Did you get the update on this story, Mark? What's the date on your Guardian piece that you have there?
I've got it from, I don't know, it doesn't show the date on mine.
Okay, I've got one here, headline, Exeter School's Uniform Resolve Melts After Boys' Skirt Protest.
Okay, go ahead.
That's a different story.
It's different than what I've got, yeah.
So according to this here, this was published yesterday, Britain's heat wave this week sparked open rebellion at ISCA Academy in Devon with boys wearing skirts in protest. of the rules that insisted male pupils wear long trousers, even as temperatures soared into the mid-30s. That's Celsius.
Yes.
By the end of the week, the school's icy resolve finally melted in the glare of the international exposure. The Exeter Secondary School has announced that boys will soon be able to choose to wear shorts instead of its tartan trousers after the box pleat rebellion.
Tartan trousers? How awful.
Just clarification, the difference between a kilt and a skirt is the way that the garment wraps around the body.
Okay. Uh-huh.
A kilt wraps to the left, just like when you button your shirt.
Yeah,
its left oversets the right.
But that's only for men's shirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And women's shirts, its right oversets the left?
Correct.
Yeah.
Huh. Same difference between the kilt and the skirt. But if the kids shave their legs, shame on them. They're wearing skirts.
Yeah, I got to say, you shave your legs, you're wearing a skirt, as far as I'm concerned. I tend to agree. I guess I would be a little more generous on which direction it wraps, but I can see
the
point.
Well, it was their intention to wear a skirt. That was the point of the protest.
The girls get to wear a skirt, so they're wearing the same garment that the girls would wear.
That's right.
You know, when you're talking about 11, 12, 13-year-old boys, it doesn't really matter. Their waists are all about the same.
Uh-huh.
I think that once a garment, a skirt-like garment that is plaid goes on a young man, that it gets very close to being a kilt.
No, indeed it does.
Yeah. Do you know what the bag is that hangs in front of the kilt on the traditional kilt?
Yeah, it's called a sporran.
That's right, sporran. Huh. And don't they usually have a little knife involved somewhere, too?
That's the skindu, and that's usually worn tucked into the top of the stocking or hose.
Oh, I see.
And it's called the black knife because typically you'd use it for doing black deeds like kidney thrustings and throat slittings.
Yeah, I got you.
Wow.
There you go.
This is excellent.
Those
I
are the things that
things
go
about...
basically with a kilt, right? So you got to have the bag, you got to have the little knife.
Nope.
Yep,
or you might carry a dirk, which typically originally was a broken down sword.
Right, some sword that that broke and then they just sharpened it up, right?
Yeah. Say, 10, 12-inch blade.
They did confirm that the boys involved in the protests would not be punished for wearing the skirts. Quote, parents and pupils will be aware that the hot weather these last few days has prompted interest in our school uniform policy, and notably the trousers rather than shorts worn by our male students. The school noted Riley in a, quote, hot weather and school uniform update, unquote, on its website. They continued saying, contrary to news reports, we have not banned shorts. Shorts are simply not part of our school uniform. Well, that's basically the same difference.
I just love bureaucrats. They're the same everywhere. We have not banned shorts. We just simply don't allow them.
Well, I'm not sure if these are bureaucrats because I don't know if this is a private school
or not. You're a bureaucrat if you act like a bureaucrat.
Really?
Okay? So bureaucratic stuff. One can work in the private sector
and still be a bureaucrat. I see.
I understand that there's a tighter definition of sort of someone who works within a government bureau.
Yeah.
But, nonetheless, the rule followers, it says right here, those people – if you act like a bureaucrat, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I had never had an expectation that Donald Trump would act with class. I did have a hope that he would make good Supreme Court nominations, and from that standpoint, he has. And so therefore, I didn't vote for him. I voted for Gary Johnson, but nonetheless, I can live with the pony show that's going on in the White House. But I have this question. What define class the very best way that you can? Because to me, this is sort of an amorphous word. I don't entirely know what it means. I've heard lots of people use it. I just don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I guess class is having, I'm going to use another adjective, but the tact to recognize how people perceive you. You come from a well-off family, so you should have manners. And I think that he is so unhinged that what I used to see in him from the Apprentice show was what I call good intentions to raise money for charities. And you see, a grand building, and he knew how to act businesslike. And I guess if you have tact, you know how to act businesslike, you might have a little class as well. I still have faith in him. I think he can get us there, but he just needs to
get you where. Get you where.
Where do you think he's going to get you?
Well, I think he's going to get us, you know, hopefully with the Republican Congress and Senate, we can start to look at the budget. We have to be fiscally sound. We have to run the country like a business. You don't spend more money than you have coming in.
Well, that would be a nice rule, sure. I mean, and when's the last time the government did that?
I mean, a balanced budget amendment would be really, really, really awesome. You would think that the politicians would go for it, but this, you know, this notion of spending straight into debt is really ridiculous. But frankly, the whole Federal Reserve system, the way it's created, the Federal Reserve notes are debt notes. They're the debt from the Treasury, which claims essentially your and my labor through the income tax to pay off debt in the future. They should have some value-backed currency, and then if they did have a value-backed currency, they could actually balance a budget. I don't like violent videos generally.
Right. I've been doing this show for a long time. We've seen a lot of police abuse videos, and I'm just not interested in seeing a whole bunch of these things anymore. I've seen my share of them, and it's just they're hard to watch. I mean, I don't get enjoyment out of it, so I want to do things I enjoy, you know? I know that the police are, in a lot of cases, corrupt. I know that they do the wrong thing a lot of the time, that they can get away with murder, which
this
is just...
This doesn't look like corruption to me. This looks like bad judgment.
Whatever, man. I don't know anything about this cop, except for the fact that he just got away with murder. Because apparently the jury in this case that was trying this particular cop on multiple felony counts of manslaughter...
I think manslaughter is a better term for what might have occurred here.
Whatever, dude. He used the excuse that he's afraid to shoot a man to death who in no way, shape, or form posed any sort of threat to this officer.
Police don't listen to a thing you say, probably because they're not supposed to listen to anything you say, because many people that they deal with want to lie to get out of whatever they deal with. But if you met... For whatever reason, somebody on the street reaches for a waistband, reaches into their waistband or whatever.
And you blast them?
And you pull out a gun and you shoot them a few times.
And you tell the jury that you were scared?
And you tell the jury, I was afraid they were going to shoot me. How is that going to fly?
It ain't going to fly.
Are you going to walk? And if the answer is no, you're clearly not
going to
walk, then we all understand that police operate at in a different sort of world than we operate. They get a different view from the juries and that sort of thing. And I think that that's the first thing we need to look at, is that this class of people in a country where there is not supposed to be class and title. There is.
Philando Castile is not even the most recent cop that skated.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
A cop that shot a boy that was running away from him I think it was Minnesota. He shot him 14 times.
In the back?
In the back. And I'm not even sure where it was 14 times. So, you know, it doesn't matter where that is.
And what was the supposed reason for that?
They said he had a gun, but he threw it. He threw the gun away as he was running away. That's what the story was. The cop wasn't in any kind of danger.
Of course not. Generally, you're not in danger when
you're
assailant.
Shooting somebody in the back. It's unlikely that you're in danger.
Right.
So, what was what you said? This was New York where that happened.
No, it was up in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Okay. And was it? You know, what were the other circumstances surrounding that? Like, why did he get? Why was the cop talking to him in the first place, or whatever?
I think it was I'm not really sure because it happened a little while ago. And the only reason I know about it, I remembered it now, is because they just had a trial in the cop. You know, he was able to go home.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But I think it was a traffic stop. I'm not sure.
I'm stuck here. I'm in a different age group. And I have an old-fashioned landline phone. And I'm crippled and I'm going blind.
Oh, no.
And I have a
phone.
Sorry
to hear that.
Well, that's okay. This guy got stuck here.
Where are you stuck?
Arcata, California.
Okay.
And I need to talk to people that think they're important.
Well, that's not me.
Well, you guys are cool. That's important, man. Everybody's important.
Okay.
Talk to your mom. Everybody is important.
My mom thinks I'm important. You're right.
I would hope so.
Yep. Okay.
But anyway, what I needed to do was ask you if occasionally I could call and say, man, I need this number. These are like government guys. They think they're unspeakably important.
What number?
And they're going to put me through 5 phone numbers that I don't have.
Okay.
And I can't see.
I see.
And they're going to, just say, just go die. And that's worse than being shot.
So you're saying, you know, just to clarify, you're saying you feel like you're stuck in this town in California, Arcata, California.
I don't feel like it. I am exactly it.
You're literally stuck, you say, in this town.
I can't walk and I can't see.
And you've called some government number asking for a different number, and they don't help you?
No, because I can't see. I have a phone book, but I can't see the numbers in the government.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
I was a deputy in the early 90s, mm-hmm. and I went through the academy, and then all that, like I said, I was prior Marine Corps. I was making $7.25 an hour with a deputy sheriff.
Man, that's low.
That sucks, don't it?
Yeah.
But I like doing the job. I like helping people out. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately, I never had to come about. You know, a couple of times I could have shot somebody, but I was using my head to just talk them down what they was doing.
Good.
And I think what it is, a lot of times nowadays, police officers are under so much stress, and they think about your family. Well, am I going to live? Am I going to die? What?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they jump the gun sometimes.
Yep.
But when you have situations like the police officer there, what, in South Carolina or whatever, when the guy was 20 feet away from him, shooting him in the back, that's way beyond. That's not, that doesn't make any sense.
Not okay. Not okay. There's no excuse in the world that could justify shooting a man in the back as he's running away, right?
Well there's the fleeing felon.
That doesn't prove any kind of immediate danger.
The fleeing felon rule, Mark, is what?
The fleeing
felon
rule.
You can just blast any old felon you want?
Basically, if somebody's guilty of a felony and they're fleeing.
Well, you don't know if they're guilty.
Out of Texas, where, you know, two guys who were of Latin descent were leaving a house. The next door neighbor was in charge of sort of watching the house. He basically is on the phone with the 911 folks and basically says, I'm going to blast him, and then does. So,
fleeing felon rule, according to Wikipedia, says that at common law, the fleeing felon rule permits the use of force, including deadly force, against an individual who is suspected of a felony and is in clear flight. Force may be used by the victim, bystanders, or police officers.
Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be able to use the fleeing felon law in every state or jurisdiction across the country. You know, I mean, I've heard all kinds of things where people who had legit shots were, you know, charged or whatever happened to them. But I think that to me, that just, you know, serves to point out that there's a difference between what police can do and what the rest of us can do. There, you know, when it comes to rights, you can only license your rights out that you have.
I just want to tell that guy that's fine. First thing is that if he can dial 411, they'll look the number up for him, and they'll dial it if he wants them to dial it.
Yeah, he was claiming for some reason that wasn't available to him.
I don't know, but...
it's probably because he's crazy.
I didn't hear that.
But, you know.
Well, it is very difficult because I had eye surgery this past winter, and I couldn't see for about 3 months, and I couldn't use my phone, and it was very difficult, and no one knows what it's like until it happens to them.
Oh, I believe it. It must be horrible.
I used to go to the Philadelphia Folk Festival in the summer in August.
What festival?
And Philadelphia Folk Festival.
Oh, folk. Folk, okay.
Philadelphia Folk Song Society, and it's usually, you know, pretty good weekend, mm-hmm. a long weekend with a lot of bands. But I did a video one year of all the men that were wearing skirts, and a lot of them were wearing kilts. And some of them were wearing, they were wearing women's skirts, long skirts.
Hmm.
I mean, they don't make skirts for men except for kilts.
Right.
And they were wearing, like, women's gauze dresses, like hippie kind of clothes.
Okay.
And they loved it. They were there all, you know, I don't think they were gay. They just loved, they thought it was so much fun. And well, anyway, I made a video and I sent it into American America's Funniest Videos.
They still doing that show after all these years? That thing's still on the air?
I don't know. But it would have won.
It was a good
but they
deal.
Sent me the paperwork, and I didn't know who most of the people were.
Right, because you've got to get releases. You've got to get everybody who's in the video to sign off on, yes, you may use my likeness in theory to possibly make money from it or whatever, or else you can't, or else the TV station can't display the video.
Another thing that is really sort of difficult as a listener is to understand what it's like to be a talk show host. Your job, Ian, and you sit in the first chair most of the time,
yeah.
Your job is to decide when a call ends. You need to keep the show interesting, keep it moving, keep propelling the conversation forward. And the way you do that is by taking calls and ending calls. And, people generally never feel like they got everything they want to say said. And so it's not uncommon to finish a call to a talk show where you're like, I had things I could have said, more things I could have said.
Sure.
But the nice thing about Free Talk Live is, A, you can go download and listen to yourself right there at freetalklive.com. It'll be available tonight at around midnight Eastern time. And two, we do another show 21 hours from the end of this one.
You can always call again. Anyway, Eric, go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, and guys, I have nothing but respect for you both, and I did more an observation than criticism, and you guys are absolutely right. So I wanted to get into the Castile case.
Sure.
I've done a bunch of research on this because it's so disturbing.
Yeah.
So I believe it's a murder.
Yes.
Okay. I think, that's a tough thing to say, but I have watched and looked at everything, and that's what I call it.
And what was it called again, this class?
Bulletproof Warrior.
Okay, it's called the Bulletproof Warrior, and it's offered by a company called Caliber Press.
Uh-huh.
Now, the other interesting thing about Caliber Press is, okay, I can see the caliber. You want to have a higher caliber officer. But the way they spell caliber is in the firearms spelling of caliber.
Yeah.
B-R-E at the end.
Yep.
There's a lot of tells here. I was in the Marine Corps. I don't have a law enforcement background, but I do know, I've been around this stuff a lot. And I am extremely concerned by just the overall militarization, Mark, you absolutely nailed it. Are we really sure at this point that we are getting people who are qualified to be police officers? You know, and that's what you said, man. And it was just like, bunk. You know, was he qualified? With the nationwide lowering of standards, which has been talked about by numerous different people on both sides, including what has been documented as a search for low IQ or lower IQ mm-hmm. off candidates. We've had training officers with 20, 30 years history coming out and saying, hey, I'm not getting the quality of candidates here. And this is an excellent observation by an international training safety executive. His name is Michael Bakar, and he's from the International Association of Directors of Law Enforcement Standards and Training.
I sat on a jury once, and the young man that was the defendant for shooting and injuring someone, his sister had been being beat up on another street. She ran home, and her clothes were torn. Well, eventually, the whole crowd followed over to his street,
mm-hmm.
including the other girls' mothers and a whole bunch of kids in the van. And so this young man brought his gun outside and said, get out of here. And he shot at the tire of the van.
Okay.
He was unfamiliar with the kick of his gun, and he injured a teenager who unfortunately will never be the same.
Mm.
But eventually, the rest of the jury finally said, if we change our vote to yours, can we go home? Because they wanted it to be straight-out murder, and he was not intending. He is black, so were all the rest of the people. but he had purchased his gun legally and had it licensed. And I fought like crazy because I just said he did not intend to harm anybody.
Wow, so what you're saying is 11 of the other 11 jurors were wanting to find him guilty. You wanted to find him not guilty on the count of murder, and they were willing to flip if that meant they could just go home.
Yeah, because they thought I was trying to stay long enough to get another day's pay.
Oh, my God. Why would anyone...
$15 or whatever they had?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.